Hi, everyone. Welcome to Two Bald Guys Talking Safety. I'm Langdon DeMint.
And I'm Julian Taylor.
And welcome to our podcast. It makes you wonder how we have become, honestly, a little complacent to thinking differently.
Yeah.
About it, really. Yeah. And it's easy for employees. I mean, we've kind of hit on that and seeing the benefit. It's easy for them just to, I'm not going to say pencil whip it, but I guess I am a little pencil whipping just to get it done because it's the same assessment. Forklift check. That's one of the easiest ones. Have I done my check? Yeah, it's seat's fine, mirror's fine, seatbelt. Yeah.
Yeah.
Seatbelt is ripped, but that's because I want it that way. Fine. And they go on. And that's a perfect example. I've seen it, I bet, 30 times doing just my own or reviewing the forklift checks and seeing that this wasn't good. Why has this not been, why has this not been done more accurately? And you start realizing that, again, people are inherent to do what's still safe to them, but comfortable. And are we looking at how that can actually play a broader role into the workplace? And that's when we start realizing that, some risks are inherent. They're going to be there. Nothing we can do. But we can at least come up with ways to lower those and minimize the hazard so that we can start seeing, if it at least isn't mitigated, maybe it'll be acceptable. Maybe it won't be a big deal. It's, again, that's the whole thing. Honestly, I won't say the whole thing, but a lot of that is around the importance of SIFs. How do we even look at the risks that pose or those potential SIFs? There were risks there. There were things that potentially could have been prevented, steps that could have been put into place. And I think it seems like big organizations, the leaders that have either experienced it or understand those ramifications, it seems like they're open to putting that. But it's all the others. It's all the other organizations that haven't. It makes you wonder, how do you have a talk to help them understand the importance of proper identification of risk as a broad topic? Those are some difficult conversations.
Well, I think one of the things we've kind of touched on sort of, I suppose, risk registers. We've talked about risk profiling, and I think that's one of the other sort of values of it, is that rather than talking to senior leadership about a single risk assessment or individual risk assessments, actually you can go and have a far more informed conversation around sort of the risk profile of the organization. And that's really important, because if you're going to make changes, particularly if you want investment, let's be blunt about it, if you need some cash, you're going to need that approval from a senior leadership level. So actually being able to help them to identify what are the biggest risks that we have as an organization, that's a fundamental part of being a member of the C-suite, is that you're there to try and mitigate against the things that could affect the organization, whether they're financial risks, health and safety risks, whatever they are, you're there to mitigate against those things. So I think that's one of the sort of added values of going through this exercise of creating a profile and a register, is being able to go and have that more informed conversation with senior leadership to say, actually, as part of your strategy over the next 12 months, as part of our budgetary planning, actually, can we start to look at these things? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's, it's challenging, because we always, I feel like, try to tell me what you think. So this could be, you could say, Langdon, you're an idiot.
That's Langdon, totally wrong. You're an
Stop,
idiot.
Stop, you hold I'd... that. I was actually going to say, don't say it yet, though. A lot of times I feel like we try to broad stroke stuff. And what I mean by that is, it could be anything of application of a health and safety process, of a driving a culture, of selling something, of a using the, how do I swing a golf, whatever it is. We try to broad stroke things for simplistic, right? I mean, I get it. I've done it myself. And we think that we can broad stroke it, the importance to leaders, to the frontline employees, when if we don't tailor it, meaning the conversation, the importance, the why does it matter that, you know, we sometimes gloss over because we've heard thousands of times why it matters. I don't know what matters. But if you don't really start tailoring it and thinking, how can we drive change? How can we make it actually better? Why does it matter to, why does it matter to Joel as president of whatever, ABC Golf Manufacturing, that some of his people are dealing with hot steel and they've taken in, or, you know, something into account? I think that's the challenge, not to totally shift it to culture, but when you talk about risk, we're dealing with people and everyone has a different gauge for, honestly, I mean, I've seen it with risk matrices. What might be low to me is medium or high to you. It's because we're all different and we make those different assumptions. So I wonder if the conversation is not something different than what we've historically done, meaning we have to understand those people and what they're doing.
I think it is. And I think it's up and down the tree, Langdon. I think it's really interesting when you talk about senior leadership. I've had a few conversations with senior people in recent weeks and tried to take a different tack with them, right? Because the danger is it always becomes a conversation about money, or it always becomes a conversation around incidents, doesn't it? And but actually just taking that different tack of actually what's the value of doing good safety to you as an organization, and there's so many values, and but it's often seen as a negative, isn't it? Health and safety is seen as a negative. And I think it's trying to change that narrative to start to talk about actually how does safety contribute to things like productivity? We've talked about this productivity. How does it contribute towards better quality? Yeah. So actually, if we create an environment where people are engaged and bought into health and safety, they're probably bought in and engaged to the rest of the things that they're doing. So they might come up with process suggestions, process ideas. Yeah. So that is really key to me. So the conversation I was having was really to say, what can you do as a leader to contribute towards that? And even if it's every time they go to a site or they're on the shop floor, they go and talk to people. That's really simple, isn't it? Go and talk to people. But actually what it starts to do is just reinforce to the guys on the shop floor, this is important. Safety is important to this person because they keep coming and talking to me about it. And actually, that person normally just walks onto the site, walks straight into the meeting room that they normally go to, have their meeting, leave, and then go back to their office again. Suddenly, if they start talking to people, that starts to create a bit of a ripple because they go, oh, this senior person came and talked to me. They don't normally do that. What did they talk about? They talked about safety. It starts to just create this narrative that safety is more important. But it has this ripple effect then of actually people feel more engaged. They want to be a part of the organization. They want to come up with ideas. They want to report things. So they do it. So I think there's that part to it. And then the other part I think you said was really, really important is the complacency and the age thing. Yeah. And what's the perception of risk? And it's different for everybody. Yeah. So if somebody's worked in a manufacturing plant for a long time, they've probably done and got away with things for a long time. And the danger is then that becomes not a risk to them. In their mind, it's not a dangerous thing to do. So I think, it's always that, how do we involve those people in terms of identifying, understanding, and assessing risk? So actually they're part of the process, to just keep them fresh in terms of actually, what is the right perception of risk in this particular arena? And you talked earlier about the age group, and I didn't know whether you were classifying me at the top end or in the middle end. Middle
I said
stage
us.
With you. Us.
Nice.
I like that. Oh, I like that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
See.
And I'm happy to say I am slightly older than Langdon. But there's a danger, isn't it? That and you see this all the time in construction, don't you? Where you've got the older guys who've been in construction for a long time.
Yeah.
And they just, even simple things like wearing gloves, even simple things like sun cream or protecting themselves from the sun if they're working outdoors in the summer, they don't feel the need because they never have done. Yeah. So again, there's that different perception of risk because they've just done the thing for a long time. So it's thinking about how we can involve them so that we start to educate and change that perception to something that's more sensible. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I totally agree. And that's, you know, I think a lot of what you hit on right there was very important because we think about risk management. And I mean, obviously we're talking about it from the perspective of a predominantly more EHS related, but when organizations start prioritizing risk, and maybe let's say they're doing it on a very broad, because of the driver, which honestly is financials, which you, I think, hit the nail on the head, a lot of times those prioritizations that are constantly occurring, they are on the repeated exposures that they see as being the greatest cost to the company, which they might not be the greatest threat to the company. You know what I mean? It's easier for me, and this is terrible, but I have seen it. It's easier for organizations to put a larger focus on ensuring that they're not polluting a stream, just picking that, versus seriously injuring someone, because there is a lot greater financial ramification that comes if I pollute this stream versus if, honestly, if you seriously injure or even, you know, if let out but kill someone, a lot of times there's a greater financial, and that's a problem. So when we start thinking about, if we think about it from that perspective versus the whole, what does that look like? How can we prioritize these risks that we see? And honestly, we have to think differently. And I think that's for leaders, for frontline employees. I think it probably is a little broad stroking you can do for a frontline because they know what they, especially if they've done the job for a long time, you have to make them think differently or they won't. But for leadership, I think it is that you have to overcome a lot of times that greatest adversity of a negative financial impact. So think about, we've done this. Let's start looking at other priorities that we need to put in place to kind of continue exploring. And to me, that's when we start seeing at least a better awareness of the risks that exist.
There's plenty to be thinking about, isn't there? There's in terms of both shop floor and also senior leadership is changing that perception of actually what is risk, why is it important, and actually what role have I got to play at whatever level I am sitting within an organization.
For sure. What do you think, Jules? We've had some good risky conversation here.
Well, my next trip is definitely, a lot of people seem to think it's a really risky trip I'm taking off to Colombia, but I have done my assessments.
Nice.
Been and had the right inoculations, and
that's the important thing.
Yeah, I'm ready for it. So
we're good.
I think it's a really good conversation. It's a conversation we should continue. And again, we've got some interesting guests coming up in the next few pods. We're going to carry on this discussion with us. I'm going to take a short break to go on holiday. Langdon might do a solo effort. I don't know.
Maybe I can have a conversation with myself.
You could. Yeah, you're pretty good at that.
I mean, I'm alone.
But I think key takeaway is always be thinking about how do we keep risk up there as something that's a focus across the business. And again, the more we can get into senior leadership to help them to understand where are the sort of key risks within the business that we could be looking at and get their support and their investment, that's a big step forward. As Langdon says, it's easy to become complacent about these things or start thinking about the next thing. Actually, risk is always going to be the sort of, I think of it as the foundations of good health and safety. If we've got good risk management in place, we're probably in quite a good place.
No, I totally agree. And I think it's also because you've seen compliance organizations, they've made you know, great improvements. But I think the risk is, I dare say it's made as much kind of that risk management, that risk culture, if you want to call it. We've probably seen greater reduction of incidents, reduction of fatalities over the last 30 years when that started being a little more proactive. So I totally agree. We don't want to have the pencil whipping. We don't want to have the 50,000 JHAs like I've seen before. And how can we just think differently? So no, it's a good conversation.
And the really important thing to remember is those stats have slowed down, and in some cases they're plateauing. In some cases they're kind of very, very subtly, but they are going up again. So it's absolutely something that you can't say we've cracked this, because we haven't.
Human error, tell you. Not in a negative way, but I mean, humans are infallible. So I think that's an excellent way to end that, what you said. It's
infallible or fallible?
Fallible.
Fallible. What'd I say? Let's go infallible. With fallible.
Yeah. Did I say Let's infallible?
You said infallible. Let's go with fallible.
Nothing is infallible. But this has been an excellent. We look forward to hopefully having more risque discussions around risk and other management practices. What can we do differently? We'd love to have your input as well. Listeners, if you have something, we'd love to hear what you're doing. If you've seen positive light, we could share that to others. And remember, we're always trying to help. So with that, Jules, I hope that you have safe, risk mitigated travel.
Thank you.
And for everyone else out there, as you're going about your days, as you're traveling, as you're getting into your general work day, as your children are going back to school, remember to stay healthy, stay safe, and ultimately, let's watch each other's back out there. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
Hey, everyone. Really appreciate you tuning into this episode of Two Bald Guys Talking Safety. Please follow and subscribe to wherever you stream your favorite podcast, or visit us at evotix.com.
And if you want to see how follically challenged we really are, come and check us out on YouTube. If you've got value from the podcast, please go to Apple Podcasts. And in the review section of this podcast, if you could leave us a review or a rating, that would be great.
And as always, everyone, while you're going about your days and about your normal lives, stay safe out there and watch each other's back.